words. Sorry. These are the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests from the town of Ammonon in the land of Benjamin. The Lord first gave messages to Jeremiah during the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. The Lord's messages continued throughout the reign of King Jehoiakim, Josiah's son, until the 11th year of the reign of King Zedekiah, another son of Josiah's son. In August of that 11th year, the people of Jerusalem were taken away as captives. Jeremiah called and the first vision. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I am too young. The Lord replied, don't say I am too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and you will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, Lord, look, I have put my word in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. This is the end of the reading of God's word.
Thanks, Betty, for reading that, and good morning. As always, it's a pleasure to be here with you again. This morning, as we get stuck into the Word of God, I want you to think about something for a moment. If I was to come up to you and to ask you one question, I wonder what your response would be. And the question I wonder about is, who are you? If I was to come up and ask you, who are you? How would you respond? Now, obviously, your first instinct might be to tell me your name. So my name is Chris. You might tell me, if your family's standing there with you, you might tell me your family's names and who they are. Perhaps if you had a bit of more time, you'd tell me about what you did during the week. But, you know, those answers don't really get to the heart of who are you. They're good answers, but not to the heart of it. No, I think quite often our society really confuses who we are and who we're meant to be. The world gives us so much conflicting information about what it means for us to be men or to be women and how we should live our lives that we can easily be confused as to what our identity is and who we are created to be. Now, if you turn on the TV or as you scroll through TikTok or Instagram or whatever social media platform you use, the world seems to be communicating to us that who we are is dependent on how good-looking we are, how wealthy we are, and how sexually fulfilled we might be, on how fun our lives are or where our latest holiday has been, and about how we can get the things out of life that we want without others holding us back. And so our identity, so says the world, is all about me, 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 and it's a very selfish kind of meaning often. But it's also perhaps quite a negative view of me. Because at times, like the world will say to us, you will never be good enough. Perhaps the world will also say, you will never be good looking enough. You know, perhaps it'll say, you're too old or you're too young. And so on it goes. The world's message seems to redefine who we are, and often it is in a negative or untrue or a completely unachievable way in order to convince us to try and buy into a different kind of me. And so it's not hard to understand why so many people in this world struggle with answering the question, well, who am I? Well, the passage I want us to look at today is the calling of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, it's true that you and I aren't all called to be prophets in the same sense that Jeremiah was. But I hope that through this passage, you'll be challenged to seek out a bit more about who you are according to God and what He has created you for. It won't fully answer the question, but I hope that it gets your mind thinking a bit more. But before we get stuck into it, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your words, and we thank you that you've called each one of us to you today. We pray that as we look at your word, that you'll be speaking to each and every one of us. Open up our hearts and our minds to hear your words. Help us to be open to the transforming work that you want to do within us as your people. Thank you that you are here with us. Let your spirit move. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, I wonder if you've had a bit of a read the book of Jeremiah yourself in the past. It's quite an interesting book. It's a book that is set in a very difficult time in the history of Israel, as they're loaded up with so much of God's judgment upon them for their continued disobedience. And so the Israelites, including Jeremiah, they would have been in a lot of pain as they struggle with their lives, and they struggle with their relationships with God, or perhaps their lack of relationships with God. But out of this really difficult time for the people, we see God's prophet Jeremiah emerge, who is called to be God's messenger to these people. He's the one that's called to proclaim the word of God to a people that had long forgotten him. He becomes God's spokesman. And as someone like him speaks these words of God, these words often of judgment to God's people, you can just imagine how difficult it would have been for Jeremiah at the time. You know, it's not the sort of job that you and I would have dreamt of, to deliver God's judgment to his people. You can just imagine the resistance he would have had from the Israelites as he spoke God's words to them. And perhaps the persecution he might have received as a result of it. But it was the job that God called him to. It was his calling. And so the call of Jeremiah opens up in verse 4, where Jeremiah proclaims these words. Verse 4 says, "The word of the Lord came to me." The word of the Lord came to me. That same word, that same voice that spoke this earth into creation. The same word or voice that put the stars in the sky and the birds in the air, that word or voice that breathed life into Adam, the very first human. And that word or voice that then later on became flesh. It was that word or voice that speaks to Jeremiah and begins to form and shape who Jeremiah is. Jeremiah is one whom the word of the Lord came upon him. And what does the word say? Verse 5 says, the Lord says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Well, as you probably know, I have two delightful children. And when we found out that my wife was pregnant for the first time, or both times indeed, you can just imagine how much joy there was within us to know that we're going to have a baby. You know, we wanted a baby, and God chose to answer our prayer. And knowing that a baby is there inside a mother's womb, growing and being formed, is exciting, although sometimes quite daunting as well. But as this child was growing inside Catherine's womb, we knew ever so much that it wasn't just a process of evolution and chance that meant that we were able to have a baby, but rather it was a deliberate creation. He chose to form and to mould that baby into the very person that he chose it to be, to form it in his likeness. You know, Psalm 139 is a very well-known psalm, and it's one of those beautiful psalms that talks about just how much God knows us. And it says this in verses 13 to 16 of Psalm 139. So verse 13. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Now, these words just proclaim how much God knew my children before we were able to fix our eyes upon them for that very first time. These words proclaim such a beautiful picture of God knowing us all so intimately. That even as my children continue to grow, even now, and their personalities change, even as I struggle at times with answering the question of who am I, Psalm 139 proclaims that the Lord knows exactly who I am. And here in Jeremiah chapter 1, this word, this voice of God proclaims that he knows who Jeremiah is. Now part of who he is comes through understanding that he has also been called or appointed for a great task. Part of Jeremiah's identity is found in him being a prophet to the nations. Now we need to understand, as I mentioned briefly before, that being God's prophet is not a glamorous calling. You know, it's not like the king's messenger, where before you speak, trumpets might sound, and then everyone will turn their attention to you, and they will be listening and waiting for the words that will come out of your mouth. You see, the role of the prophet that of Jeremiah was called to wasn't a role that carried any great prestige. In fact, as the word of the Lord comes upon Jeremiah and Jeremiah is told that he is to become God's prophet, it immediately sets Jeremiah apart from everyone else in the world. In contrast to all the other Israelites who thought they were speaking the word of God but were wrong. And so Jeremiah is very much aware of this point, that the words that are being spoken to him now by God are not easy words to take on board. In many ways, as God reveals to Jeremiah about who he is and whom he's created to be, we see that at first Jeremiah really struggles with it. In fact, he struggles with his actual identity. But Jeremiah's not alone. You know, we all struggle with our identity. For me, as I felt God call me into pastoral ministry, one of the things I really struggled with was my age. There are often times where I felt like I had to try and fight against my age in order to try and prove myself. You know, for some people, you just simply don't get respect if you are young. For others, whilst age seems to equal experience or even ability, and whilst that experience does come with age, it doesn't paint a complete picture, and therefore it's an unfair judgment upon someone at times. Sometimes we can so easily think to ourselves, if only I was older, or if only I was younger, then I could do what God is asking me to do. But you know, it doesn't just come to age. We can think to ourselves, if only I had more money, then you know what, then if I had more money, then I could afford to help the poor or the homeless more, and bless people. If only I had better health. If only I had a certain ability. If only I knew the right words to say. Or if only my circumstances were different. And so on it goes. If only. Does that sound familiar to many of you? Well, as we continue to read on in Jeremiah, we see that perhaps there is a bit more in common with Jeremiah and us than we originally might think. And I really appreciate the Bible including bits like this that make these big characters a bit more human-like for us, a bit more like us. You see, when God tells Jeremiah that he has his great calling upon his life, listen to what Jeremiah says in verse 6. "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. If only, ... If only I knew how to speak. If only I was older. You know, God, it's great that you would give me, that you would place such an important calling upon my life," says Jeremiah, "but you've got the wrong person." Can you hear what Jeremiah is saying here? The Lord gives Jeremiah an assignment, a calling, and Jeremiah has a complaint against it, two complaints. And that complaint is wrapped up in how he views his identity. As God proclaimed these words, Jeremiah asked himself the question, well, who am I? And then he went on to answer it. He says, I am someone who is young and I cannot speak. Therefore, I am not worthy of this great world. But you know, as we look at this passage, God never asked Jeremiah, who are you? God never asked Jeremiah to think about who he is and then judge whether this calling is placing him in line with his own view of himself. Instead, God simply tells him, I know you, and this is what I call you to do. And you know what? I want to say that when we fail to accurately see our identity, or the identity that God has created us in, then we begin to listen to the voice of the evil one. You know, it's the voice of the evil one that is there trying to tell Jeremiah, well, you can't speak. You're too young. You're just a child. And when the evil one speaks these words, he tries to pull us down. You see, the voice of the evil one is only good for one thing, and that is for pulling us down. Because he knows that if we listen to his voice, if we listen to it just for one moment, then we won't take up the calling that God has called us to, that he has placed upon our lives, and we won't be the people of God that he has called us to be. And for a moment, Jeremiah entertained that voice. For a moment, Jeremiah believed that his inability to speak well and that his young age meant that he wasn't able to do what God was asking of him. But God never asked him to do it. God never asked him, who do you think you are? God simply said, I know you and this is what I call you to do. And so I want to ask you this morning, in what areas of your life might you be listening to the voice of the evil one? In what areas of your life do you think that you are not good enough or that God can't use you? It doesn't mean that necessarily you're wrong in your view of yourself, because we all have flaws. We're not perfect. And it's quite possible that Jeremiah was right and that maybe he couldn't actually speak at that time that well, and maybe he was young. We don't really know, but those things aren't necessarily formed from an inaccurate view of himself. But the issue is that when he sees those parts of himself, when he sees his weakness, he allowed those things to prevent him, if only for a moment, by being able to carry out the task that he was called to do. Yes, he may not have been the best public speaker, and yes, he may have been young, but the voice of the evil one wants to use those things to pull him down. And he wants to pull us down. And so we listen to the voice of the evil one, and he says, ask something more. I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. Well, I'm thankful that the story of Jeremiah doesn't end there. If we have in mind the fact that the voice of the evil one seeks to pull us down, then on the flip side, I think we need to understand that the voice of the Holy One seeks to build us. You see, as we continue looking at the calling of Jeremiah, as he sort of complains to God about God's assignment by saying that he doesn't know how to speak and that he's just too young, the Lord speaks to him and he doesn't allow his weakness to pull him down, but instead God turns the whole situation around for Jeremiah. Listen to what the Lord says in verse 7 to 8. Follow along with me. It says, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to, and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, your rescue, declares the Lord. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, and I will rescue you. It's a pretty incredible statement by God, pretty incredible truth. As I said, whilst Jeremiah may have had some legitimate reasons for why he struggled with what God was wanting him to do, God wouldn't let him use those things as an excuse, but rather he used it as an opportunity to build him up and to tell him not to be afraid, as no matter what happens, the Lord will be with him and will keep him safe. So the Lord says, do not worry about those things, because I am with you. And so I wonder, do you listen to the voice of the Lord that seeks to build you up? Because, you know, I think that at times it can be so easy instead to listen to the voice of the evil one.
And it can bring us down to the point that we don't allow God to use us. But as this passage shows, when we listen to the voice of the Holy One instead, God is able to use us in amazing ways. For Jeremiah, as mentioned, yes, he probably was young. He couldn't speak all that well. They're probably accurate reflections of Jeremiah at that stage. But God used him to speak important words to the Israelites, whom had forgotten God. The words he was called to speak were tough words of judgment. And he would have probably been under constant attack for speaking those words and be persecuted from others who thought that they were instead the ones speaking the words of God but were wrong. But as God called Jeremiah to this task, he was told not to be afraid because the Lord would be with him and keep him safe. And so I wonder, how can you listen to the voice of the Holy One more in your life? And how can you shut out the voice of the evil one so that you can rise to the calling that God might have placed upon your life? For some of you, it may mean you actually need to take a step back and appreciate who God has created you to be. For others, it might mean you need to cut out some of the negative influences in your life. Or perhaps you need to spend more time getting to know God. Maybe it means you need to say to yourself each morning, well, yes, I have these struggles, I have these weaknesses in my life, but so what? God can still use me despite my weaknesses. Imagine what would happen if you said that every morning. Whatever it may be, we all need to learn more to listen to the voice of God, because God's voice seeks to build us up rather than pull us down like the voice of the evil one. So I encourage you to think about, how can you listen to the voice of God all your life? Maybe you need to spend more time in prayer. Maybe you need to read the Word more about God and His purpose for you in the Word of the Bible. Maybe even seek out a mentor who will encourage you and give you insight into your life. Maybe even go on a retreat. For some people, they really connect with God, being able to get away for a couple of days as a retreat and just really focus time on being with God in His creation. Whatever it is, how can you listen to the voice of God more in your life? Make time for it. Well, I guess that as we think about the voice of God and how it seeks to build us up, I guess we need to ask ourselves, what is it that God seeks to build us up for? You know, I'm sure you can think of many reasons why God might want to build us up, but for me, there are three things that particularly are important to us. So let's have a look at those three things now. You know, when I was at school, one subject I really loved and was quite good at was woodwork. You know, I loved being able to use my hands to create something out of wood. And so through this subject, I was able to create a lot of different things. And out of all the things I created, some of the more memorable things were a bookshelf, a cabinet I made, and my Year 12 major work was this beautiful coffee table with all natural edges from a slab of timber. And with glass set into it. And it was this beautiful piece of furniture that we still have to this day. But like all things I created them for a specific purpose. For the bookshelf, I didn't want to just create another bookshelf. You see, I had books that were too big to fit in my other bookshelves, and so I made sure this bookshelf I created was big enough to house all the books that I wanted in there. For the cabinet, I designed it to go alongside my desk, but I wanted to hold my 3-foot fish tank, so it needed to be strong, and it needed to be big enough to take that 3-foot fish tank on top. And for my coffee table, well, I wanted it to be the centerpiece of our lounge room, but it was also designed to be a really interesting talking piece. You see, all those pieces that I created were created for a purpose. Likewise, everything in this world is created usually for a specific purpose. And as I think about the voice of the Lord seeking to build us up, I realize that it firstly builds us up to be what we were created to be. Verse 5 of this passage says some words which are quite familiar to many of you. The Lord says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation." Now, these words, as I shared before, are similar to Psalm 139 that I read out. These words provide us with this great picture of our God knowing us so intimately, and He is the one that is forming us inside of our mother's womb. But people must understand that God does not create rubbish, but instead he knit us together to be his wonderful creation, to be his wonderful work. And when we listen to the voice of God in our lives, we listen to the words that we are his wonderful creation. We listen to the fact that he created us the way we are for a reason. And so when we ask ourselves the question, well, who am I? We need to begin by answering and saying, we are God's wonderful creation, and we're created for a great purpose. And I wonder if you believe that. Do you know that you are God's wonderful creation? So as we listen to the voice of God, we're raised up to be the person that God created us to be. We are raised up to be that wonderful creation. But I want to say that we need to make sure that we listen to that voice. And we're really to understand who God created us to be, then how do you think that will affect our lives as a result? How does it change our drive and our passion as we seek to be that creation, that wonderful creation? How will all our decisions in life be affected by what we were created to be? Because I think that if we really discover who our wonderful God created us to be, then it will permeate through the entirety of our lives as we rise to be those people. But firstly, we see that when we listen to the voice of the Holy One, we see that it seeks to build us up to be the people that are created to be. Well, secondly, as we listen to the voice of the Holy One, we see that it also seeks to build us up to God's mission. For Jeremiah, we see that the mission he had of being a prophet to the nation was not his own choosing. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, or as it translated, I chose you, said God. It talks about Jeremiah being specifically set apart for this calling. Jeremiah was called by God for God's mission, and I believe the same is true for us too. You see, as we listen to the voice of the Lord more in our lives, we begin to realize that we don't really have much of a choice as to where we are to minister and to serve. You see, we find that God has already planned it all for us and chosen us for that time. For myself, I started to discover this fact back in 2005. Previously, as you know, I spent 3 years studying a Bachelor of Computer Science at the University of Western Sydney. In Penrith, and then I got a job in Epping as a computer systems engineer. I had a quite an important job. I was running some quite big projects for the company I was working for, which involved a lot of responsibility. But throughout 2005, as I was working in IT, each morning that I'd go to work, I'd get there early, and I used to go to the local park. And I'd sit there and I'd do my quiet time with God. And every morning for probably 6 months, I heard God saying to me over and over again, really clearly, perhaps even shouting to me. I was pretty deaf. God was saying, Chris, I want you to go to college and be a pastor. I want you to be a pastor in a church. Well, every morning for those 6 months, I used to sit there and I'd hear the voice of God. And I knew it was his voice. It was undeniable. But every morning I used to say, no. No, God, I don't want to do that. You see, I had life all worked out, all planned out myself. But God had other plans. And so he kept calling me every single day. And he kept changing my heart. And so I tried to choose my calling by saying no to God every morning. But I began to realize that it wasn't something that was really open to debate. See, God had placed a calling upon my life. And that was part of what I was called to do as a disciple. I was called to be obedient. Now, for many of you, or most of you, you may not be called to pastoral ministry. You may not be called to be a prophet to the nations, and that's okay. But a part of our calling can be to do with the people that are in our lives now. It can be to do with us simply using the gifts and abilities that God has given us. It can simply be to make ourselves available to do whatever need arises. But no matter what it is, it will all seek to work towards God's mission of seeking and saving the lost. And so we need to ask ourselves, how does the voice of the Lord seek to build me up to seek and save the lost? How am I working towards this mission in my life? Because if we don't work at seeking and saving the lost, then we aren't listening to the voice, and then we're listening to the voice of the evil one, because he doesn't want us to seek and to save the lost. and he's having an influence over our lives now. But we as disciples were created to be people that seek and to save the lost, and who make other disciples. And so, as we ask ourselves the question, well, who am I? Our answer should include, or could include, the fact that I am someone who is called to be on God's mission of seeking and saving the lost, however that might be. And so I ask you, do you know the voice of the Holy One, the voice of God that calls you to this mission, the mission to seek and save the lost? Well, the final thing I want to talk about in what the voice of the Holy One seeks to build us up for, having seen the voice of the Holy One seeks to build us up for us to be who we are created to be, and that it seeks to build us up to fulfill God's mission, then thirdly, we must realize that it also seeks to build us up to have a hope and a future. In a world where so many people don't have hope, and so many people struggle to see a future for themselves, we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, are told that we have this great hope and this great future. In fact, halfway through the book of Jeremiah, in this midst of this really extremely difficult time of judgment that is being pronounced upon the Israelites, where they don't feel that God is very close to them, the Lord proclaims these words in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, I don't think many of us can really say that we know what it was like for Jeremiah at this time. Jeremiah's calling, as I've said numerous times, was a difficult calling where he needed to stand up against everybody and proclaim judgment that was coming upon them. But as he's carrying out this difficult calling, he gets these words from the Lord. "I know the plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future," says the Lord. You know, I don't know whether Jeremiah felt much hope in his current situation at that time, with all the attack around him. And I don't know whether he saw much of a future, but these words probably would not have been the easiest words for Jeremiah to hear in the moment. But they're certainly encouraging words nonetheless. You see, these words proclaim that no matter how bad your current situation may be, no matter how you may be feeling about yourself, about your nation, about your future, God still has great plans for you. And so we are called to have hope. And so I guess that as we listen to the voice of the Lord, we need to understand that his words seek to show us this hope and this future that he has planned for us. When people say to us that they don't have hope, or when they struggle to see a great future for themselves, then we have great news to offer them. And the news is that they can have a hope and a future, and that hope and that future comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves them, and who died for them, and transforms them. Therefore, as I begin to think about the question, well, who am I? I need to realize that I am someone with whom God has great plans for me. Plans that God himself made for me. And so as we listen to that voice more, we discover about that hope and that future. We discover that the plans that the Lord has for us in this life, but more importantly, in the next. And that is great reason for great joy. And so we need to work hard to block out the voice of the evil one, and instead listen to the voice of the Holy One more in our lives, as the Holy One calls us to be the people that we were created for. He calls us to work according to God's mission in this world, and he calls us into that great hope and the great future. But I guess that as I think about this, I begin to realize that this message doesn't just stop there. You see, it doesn't just stop with you and me as individuals trying to seek out the voice of God and trying to determine who I am. You see, Jeremiah was proclaiming this message to a whole group of people, to the Israelites, and as a collective, they had the power to listen to the voice of the evil one or the voice of the Holy One. And then they allow that voice to shape who they are as the people of God. And so as we all sit here this morning as Faith Bible Baptist Church, it is so important that you are all united as one people of God. and that collectively you all work towards hearing the voice of God, and that you're all participants in His mission in this world. This here is a message for individuals, but also collectively as the people of God. And as verse 8 says, just to finish, do not be afraid, for I am with you, declares the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you are a God that speaks to us. Thank you that your Spirit moves within us and speaks to our heart, to our mind, to our ears, and calls us to be the people that you created us to be. Father, I pray that each day that we will rise to be those people, that we will listen to that voice and we'll know more of what it means to be your disciples and the people, the wonderful creations that you created us to be. Continue to transform us, we ask, Jesus. We ask every day that we might be alert to the mission that you have called us to be on. Whether it's a great mission to be a pastor or a prophet, or whether it's just the mission to participating in seeking and saving the lost. Maybe it's a mission to speak to my neighbours, to show love and generosity to the homeless. Whatever it may be, Father, help us each day to listen to that mission that you are calling us to, and help us to be obedient. And Father, we ask that you will help us to always realise the hope of the future that we have in you. Help us to be people of hope. Help us to be people that we want to share that hope and that future with others. That when people see us, they see something different about us because we have a hope and a future in you. May each day we work towards sharing that hope and future with us. Continue to transform us and be ours, Jesus, in your loving,